hello and welcome everyone to the Peaceful Planet Show. This is your host, Marcia McMahon, coming to you again from the BBS studios. I hope you're all having a great day, and we thank you for listening to us. And we have a wonderful guest with us today who's been on the show numerous times, a good friend of mine, Rose Campbell, who is a clairaudient channel with 18 years experience working with the words of spiritual essence. That was a Martin Luther King and others. These words were given in extended sessions totaling 6 months of transcripts. Rose works as well with Diana Princess of Wales in an ongoing manner. You can visit Rose's website, and I encourage all of our listeners to go to the website now. That will connect directly to the homepage on BBS Radio about the Peaceful Planet. So if you click on About This Show, you can visit Rose's site at www.sessionswithspirit.info/info. She has a lot of great material up on Diana Princess of Wales with live interviews with Diana, her voice channel, Andrew Russell Davis. And actually, they're just riveting to hear these messages from Diana. So we encourage you to visit Rose's site. She also does Sessions with Spirit, and you can link to her other site from that site at http://blank.html. So Rose has done some beautiful websites there. And Rose, I'm so glad to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Marcia. Happy to be back.
Oh, yeah. It's always great to have you, and your words from Spirit are always riveting, and we are doing a tribute show, not so much to Diana today, though she may enter the picture because both Rose and I channel Princess Diana, and we have very corollary information, but today's show is going to focus on celebrating the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, and Rose's very fascinating information with Dr. King as he continues to transcribe sessions with Rose from Spirit, and he has some very powerful words that I think all of our listeners will enjoy hearing, and as well highlights his legacy that we are all thinking about at this time of year with his holiday being celebrated. Actually, I think it was his birthday that fell on the 19th, but the day is celebrated on Monday. So, you know, he has made some very interesting revelations from the spirit realm, and we look forward to hearing that in just a few moments. Before we connect to Dr. King through Rose, I want to make a few announcements. First of all, I'm traveling to Greece and hoping that you will think about joining me with a special spiritual odyssey connecting to the gods and goddess within February the 17th through 24th, 2008. The featured speaker and tour hostess is Andrea McKenna Pinkham. She's director of Body, Mind, Spirit Journeys at North American Grand Prioress of the International Order of Gnostic Templars. And she's going to be doing, she's going to be putting the whole tour together, and I'm just going along. It's going to be the trip of a lifetime. Here's a few of the highlights from the trip. Explore the heart of Western civilization and the great legacy of the Greek civilization. Connect with powerful energies and archetypes of the gods and goddesses of ancient Greece. Explore both an outer and inner adventure during our inspiring spiritual odyssey at powerfully transformative sacred sites that house the mystery schools of ancient Greece. Basically, on this, you get your round-trip airfare from New York City, flights within Greece, including airline accommodation and first-class hotels, taxes and service charges, daily breakfast, other meals per itinerary, and professional speaking English tour guides in Athens. And, of course, most of you know that I'm not only an intuitive channel but an art historian, and Greece is just filled with wonders of art from the ancient world, the Parthenon, Delphi, and many other places. So if you are interested and you are listening you can send me an email at Marcia Dye, MarciaDi, 2002, at yahoo.com, or I encourage you to visit the website for this, which is linked to the homepage on the VBS show about this show, or you can visit www.bodymindspiritjourneys.com. And from there, you click Sacred Journey, Sacred Travel, and then from there, click on the Greece Tour to learn more. So that is filling up fast, and I would love to see you on the tour. And if this is something you're interested in, please visit their website to find out more or send me an email. So anyway, I also want to mention that I'm doing readings with the Archangels, and those are on sale through January 30th. If you would like to know more about what is in store for you in the new year, the readings are just half price through January 30th, and you can sign up for a reading on my website at dianaspeakstotheworld.com. You have to visit the site index and then click on readings, or just click on the link that's listed on the VBS homepage about this show. So anyway, we thank you for joining us today on the Peaceful Planet, and Rose and I are going to be bringing through messages for you today from the spirit realm, not so much in readings, but we encourage you to call in if you have any questions about what Dr. King is saying. We always welcome callers at 877-876-5227 in the USA, or toll-free at 888-810-8322. And we'll be announcing these numbers throughout the show should you choose to call in and ask Rose or myself a question about the material that we're covering. So I want to mention one other thing, and that is our music that's being done by Bob Murray. We encourage all of our listeners to visit his site at www.thestarsstillshine.com. What was playing as we opened today was the rendition of Peaceful Planet by Chris Morse. The lyrics are being sung by Chris, and the music's being created by Bob. So check it out. All right, Rose, we're on, and I'm so delighted to have you back on the show today.
Well, I'm very tickled to be here and to be able to present the words that the spirit of Martin Luther King has given to me.
Yeah, and we've had you on before, and you've read his words before, but for those that are listening for the first time, you are really in for something extraordinary, and I'm sure all of our audience completely understands the significance of the great speech he wrote called I Have a Dream. And, of course, that just resonates whenever I hear it. I get goosebumps, and I think that your work has the same effect on me because it is the identical eloquence that comes through in all of his wonderful words. So if you have something you'd like to read to us or help us to understand your work and how this came to be, you could do that now. We'd be thrilled to hear it.
Well, you know, when Martin first approached me, I was busy working with Diana, and I kind of set that aside. I didn't do anything with it. I kind of, you know, set the request that was being given to me to the side because I was already involved in a fairly large project. However, 6 or 7 years later, as spirit is wont to do, they began knocking on my door again.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Right. You can only deny them for so long. Anyway, once again, Martin came forward and said he wanted me to work with him. I said, okay, and I really took my time to think about this because he had given me to know that he wanted to write a series of treatises, and I knew that this was not going to be a simple, you know, one day sit down, take dictation channeling type of event.
Yeah.
So I had to make the commitment to spend the time, and he told me it could take up to 6 months. I ultimately made that choice and did take a series of treatises, as he calls them. That's a word that he uses. And I was rather, well, I guess shocked would be a good word in one vein. I was shocked at what came through, because he kind of was undoing or redefining some of his views that he had held in life. And today I've chosen one of the treatises that is entitled The Gift That Got Returned. So I will just begin to read that now, if I may.
Absolutely. Please go on.
Okay, these are the words of the essence of Martin Luther King. I have come to know the greater extent of man's folly. When you are here with no body and a form of expanded mind, you are able to quite easily plumb the depths of many things. Due to the nature of my life lived there and my death through the fear and loathing of another, I was prompted to seek some knowledge of fear. I wanted to make sure I understood that process, since I had discovered it as a hidden agenda within myself, as explained in my first writing. What an interesting time I have had in learning these things. Did you know that man was once a species which knew no fear? That our first attempts at coming into flesh were done so with no knowledge of that concept? Consider also a new baby. They do not know fear of anything. They might react to a loud noise or a bright light, but that is an autonomic nervous system reflex. To know fear, as one does as they age, is not within the experience of a new baby. As I have said before, we teach much of those fears to our children, even if only by example. When I discovered the truth that man had not always harbored fear in his mind, I began to mull that over. What changed? Who introduced fear? And why is it so prevalent in these latter days? You can see where I would reflect upon that being, as I was, a victim of intense fear, can you not? I've spent my days since leaving there making the study of fear my newest cause, and have come forth now to share some of my knowledge with you. Since each of these writings of mine are being given as individual treatises, and yet also with an idea of making them cohesive enough to become a book as well, I will briefly cover some old ground to bring clarity and knowing to those who might have missed my earlier writings. I am Martin Luther King, Jr. In actuality, I am the spirit of that man who was known as such. In truth, I am not the man you knew by that name, but since it was my last incarnation, it does serve a purpose to express myself as that being. No, my life there served a purpose. It is still celebrated, and this is why I define myself by that name. It is also because of that life as that man that I have gained a greater knowing of things related to fear and the effects of it upon men's minds. I am working at delivering my treatises through the aid of one who can hear me. She is but my typist and assistant. She does not generate the material, though she is good at correcting my sometimes incoherent ramblings. We work as a team in that editing process only. She does not interject the veins of thought to these articles. These are my ramblings, and I commend her for the ability to type at such speed and yet know what needs to be changed in editing. I could have used her when I wrote my speeches as Martin Luther. I have discoursed upon the pocket of fear found within me upon my death. I have disclosed the hidden pockets of fear generating systems that exist in the world. I have spoken of the effect of the American Constitution, should it be given a chance at reality, instead of staying a lofty ideal for the common man. I speak now on the things that have been lost by mankind. Let me continue. The loss of the ability to know no fear is a great one, perhaps one of the greatest setbacks mankind has ever known. With the loss of that golden gift, there has been a spinning out of control of the human species since that time. Sometimes the prevalence of fear gains great strides. Sometimes in history there has been an abating of it in different pockets of the world. But the slow and steady march of its roots have continued, and those things detested in the world today owe their entire genesis to that lost gift. Consider that, if you will. War, caused by fear that one nation or country will dominate another, that one religion is correct and another way of deity worship needs to be eradicated, and that sources of riches need to be controlled. The war that besieges the world today is between fearful factions bent on religious dominance and control of the world's riches through the modern-day gold, oil? Can you deny my truth on this matter? Can you answer in dissent for that statement? The abundance of those who turn to things like drink and drug is rooted in a base of fear. The killing of each other is rooted in fear. The possession of material overabundance and the loss of personal commodities are rooted in fear. People, the decline of humanity is rooted in fear, and there is no need for such fear. I have seen the wisdom of that statement and hope to convince you of these hidden roots. I wish to expose those roots and the needless and senseless effects of their taking hold in any man's psyche. Let me now make my case for the need to return to lack of fear. It is my understanding now, having lost my earthly form, that God is benevolent. He is not a God of dire judgment. He is not a sorter of those who sin against him, as I once taught. There is neither funny fiery punishments nor any turning away from God's graces. How gracious is it to turn away those who are in fear? What father would boot his children out of his home for becoming fearful of things that they do not understand? Get real with your own ideas of God's benevolence, children, and do not listen to those who would propagate fear-based teachings to gain control of your allegiance. They do so not as a means to hold you to slavery, but because they have been taught to fear these very same things. Fear is a reproducer, a sower of its own seeds, if it is not choked out by love and wisdom. Use wisdom in understanding the love of God. Fear not that God prefers any one segment over his other children. Fear not that if you are an uneducated man, that you have less intrinsic value to God. Fear not that if you do not hoard, you will not have enough. Fear less that you are deserving of punishment for someone told you that you were wrong. Who are they, and where did their wisdom come from? Is it a form of that insidious fear creeping along their mental pathways? Do they know for a fact, as I do, what the true nature of heaven is about? I speak now not from any pulpit with a man's understanding, but from the platform of that place known as heaven, and with the understanding of one having seen the glory. My voice is raised in volume now, not for the fear of the loss of heaven, but with the praise of it. I acclaim the truth that I did not know as I stood upon those pulpits and taught heaven to my followers. It is far more glorious than anything I understood as a man. There is no judgment, there is only love. Our example, Christ, came to teach us not to fear. He showed no fear and obeisance to the religious men of his time. He spent many a word upon trying to show them their fear and the use of it to mislead others. He spat upon much of their notions. His followers taught a more excellent way as well. But did we get it? Did I, as a minister, understand the truth of those teachings? I fear I did not, and that you do not as well. Where there is fear, there cannot exist true love. That is truly a golden rule, and one your species has been missing. In the lack of true love can God be found. It was one of the Christ followers who said that God is love. That is an absolute. It is the basis of all my knowledge gathered within this heaven that I now have my being. Since God is love and fear cannot reside with love, tell me, children, can God be found in those things that are spawned by fear? Is God in the wars you wage? Does God truly exist in a fearful nation, a fearful town, a fearful home? Does God sanction one who hoards and does not share due to fear of lack? I am fairly certain you know the answers to those questions if you think for yourself. That is my purpose. Think, children. Do not let fear do your thinking for you. The gift of knowing no fear is a gift that may be returned to men. It may take a while for it to arrive, but it is guaranteed delivery if you order it. It will be sent by express courier if you but purchase it. You do not even have to wait at home for its arrival. It will find you no matter where you are. There will be no fancy wrappings. It will not come with a gift tag. You will know who sent it. It will not have bells and whistles, but it will be of greatest quality. Pardon me. It will not suffer damage in its travels to you. I beseech you all to pick up your minds and hearts and order it at once. And remember, this is not a limited time offer. It will be available always. It has no first come, first served warning. There is a stockpile of it sufficient for all. No need to wait, no need to push and shove in line for it. I have seen the stockpile. I have asked for and been given my own gift. Why do without that gift of lack of fear when it is but a decision away? I close now and wish you all the grace I have witnessed. I have judged myself and yet felt no judgment through love. There is a package here with your name upon it. Have no fear of that. And he signed this, Martin Luther King, a spirit of jubilation and exaltation.
Wow. That last signature there, that's him all right. You know, and he's really... Now, I have to tell you, as I was sitting here listening to his words, many thoughts are going through my mind, but as well, he appears to me in his spirit form, and he's saying, thank you so much. So, little confirmation there that this is him. And
As he came through, this is but one example of, as I said, some of the things that even as I was taking dictation, I was kind of like, oh, okay, because it was opposite of what you would have expected to have heard from him.
Well, it doesn't seem opposite to me. It sounds 100% him, but since he's crossed over to the spirit realm, you know, he said the first thing he had to look into was his own demise and death due to a fear-mongering, paranoid person who felt that he was the enemy somehow, you know. I mean, how do all these tragedies happen, you know? First, it has to be in the conscious and in the motions of some deranged person, you know? So, I mean, he looked into that, and then, you know, it seems like a natural progression that he put all of this together, but this is over the course of many, many years being in spirit. It was at some time in the 60s when the tragedy occurred, you know. But it sounds to me like he's kind of reversed a lot of his fundamentalist thinking.
Right. See, my first transmission with him, the first treatise, was all about how he himself was shocked to find fear, a form of fear that he never knew existed within him when he was alive.
Hmm.
And that first transmission was what really made me think, but what he says about fear in some of these other treatises and in the overall picture of the transmission he has given makes such incredible sense. I mean, he even talks about while he led his protests and his marches and his work for a good reason, it was done in the wrong veins, which again, is somewhat surprising. But from his higher, more broader understanding that he has now, not being limited in human physicality, he sees this entire thing in a higher understanding. And he's passing this on to our world through these writings with me. He could feasibly be working with someone else in the world. I don't know. But the things that he says really takes not only his life, but a lot of teachings that he taught in the pulpit and religious teachings and takes it up a whole notch, a whole level higher.
Well, yeah, he was talking about the quote, God is love, which is throughout the Bible in, I guess, the writings of John. St. John in particular, who has a different flavor on all of his Gospels than the other Gospels, but, you know, he talks about how all the fear that he did teach about damnation and hellfire, which he doesn't say those words exactly, but he was of a fundamentalist persuasion, he gives us his assurance that none of that is true and we don't need to even worry about that.
Right, that's basically what he's doing with this 15 or 18 treatises, is correcting his legacy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and I think he's imparting a great deal of wisdom, because fear is insidious. And I know that in my own personal experiences of fear, back when I was in my 30s, I started reading The Course in Miracles, and which is a channeled work from Jesus, and it brought up all this trouble for me in the form of anxiety and fear and just bizarreness. But aside from that, I was plagued with a lot of fear for a period of time. And I know personally that unless you deal with the emotion of fear, it will morph into something else and something else and something else until you're willing to get rid of it. Because he's right, it's a distortion of the truth, and it's never really the truth, no matter how terrifying some experience may be to a person. It can't happen without the experience being at some level in the consciousness subconscious of that person. So as we work with spirit, as we advance in our understanding of knowing God within, we need to really dispense with a lot of fear that we may have been taught. Of course, all the world seems to still revolve around the idea of lack, that we are somehow lacking what we need, and we need to go outside of ourselves to find it, which is a fear-based teaching. And then you see how the world operates in its general modus operandi with all these wars and everything. So much of that is generated on the idea of taking what is not rightfully ours, like the oil he was pointing out, and or disagreeing fundamentally with some other situation that feels, you know, that somehow we feel justified in attacking another nation. Fear is at the basis of all the world's evils. It's not money the root of all evil. It's fear the root of all evil, as far as I'm concerned. And I think he's right. I think he's got a very good point. And as difficult a subject as that is to focus on, you know, because a lot of people that listen to the BBS shows focus on love, and that's good. You can focus on love or you can focus on fear, and you need to move into the love vibration and move out of the fear vibration as soon as you can. But naturally, there's going to be times in your life where fear is going to be a reaction, you know?
Exactly. Each and every one of us has it. But as my own personal spiritual counselors say, and it's a very easy thing, the only way around fear is through it.
Mm-hmm. I think you really have to, what I've learned about fear is that you must, you know, face whatever it is that you're feeling. And you must face it head on and say, well, I may be feeling this right now, but I'm going to do what I want to do or what I know to be right in spite of my fear. And I think that's what real courage is all about. And when you look back at the life of Dr. King, for instance, he faced off a lot of personal fear, you know, to give that speech and to march on Washington, mm-hmm. and to organize and to speak at his church and to put up with all the continual harassment that he did while he was living. And I think he's a perfect example of true courage and true grit.
Exactly. And
you know,
that's why,
what a primitive mindset he was dealing with in the South at the time.
And that is why I think he is an excellent spokesman even now in his post-human life position to speak on topics like fear. Because he was almost an icon for overcoming fear to step forward for what was right.
Yeah. And I think all of us in our daily lives, applying this to daily life lessons, you know, seems to me like I can't wait, for one, for you to publish your book or put it out in an e-book or whatever you're going to do with them on it. I look forward to reading that. And it seems to me, Rose, that you and me and Diana all work on a certain vibrational level, which has to do with what I call peace and justice issues, mm-hmm. and world issues that can help mankind to advance from a state of fear, war, and degradation to uplifting all of humanity in a unity consciousness. And I'm meeting up with more and more people that have channeled Diana and that have channeled John Lennon. And while I can't give any names out, I met up with some people just this week who sent me some of their work. So, you know, there's more of there's more people out there that have been touched by her greatness, like you and I have, and we have corollary information. So, you know, I think that this peace and justice vibration that you work with is something that I work with. It's something that many people are being brought into the awareness of as Earth herself is going through these changes toward ascension. And as we get closer to ascension, whatever that means, because it's a general term, and I have many shows on the ascension ideas too. But we've got to reach up to our highest ideals as humans, and we've got to follow in the steps of these great masters like Dr. King and Princess Diana, who stood up for the underprivileged, who did the extra mile for the sake of our world's children, for the sake of generations to come after them, and who exemplified extreme virtue under extreme duress, which she did too. So, you know, I think that their words from spirit are entirely relevant today. And well, I think that it's wonderful to share with you his words and as well her words, you know?
Well, and there are channels all over the world, whether they be working with, you know, known names like Martin Luther King, Diana, Princess of Wales, you know. If you read a lot of the channelings that are coming out throughout the world, these are people who hear, as Martin Luther King himself would say, the voice. Because he had a connection with what he called the voice. It's what kept him going on his work.
Yeah.
And that is in one of his secular books written about his life.
Oh, really?
Yes. He talks, that's what really flipped me out. Years and years ago when I first began hearing Martin Luther King, and you as a channel will recognize this, you know, you hear it and you type it, but then you go, now, did I just make that up?
Yeah, I know. I completely understand that.
Yeah, any channel in the world is probably going to relate to that. So, of course, being a white kid, I was 12 when Martin Luther King died, living in the cornfields of Indiana in actually relative isolation, I knew nothing about the man, really. So after he came to me in my capacity as channel, that made me go to the library and start researching to see really who was this man. And, you know, that's a sad thing to say, but he wasn't taught to me in school. Because I was in that, because
television.
He had died when I was 12. By the time I got out of high school, they hadn't put him in the books yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I began to do extended research on the man. And he had said something to me in my session with him, in the channeled session, about he had come to me because he knew I heard the voice. Well, in doing the secular research, in one of this book that's, it's 4 inches thick. I came upon a passage where he talked about when his home had been bombed, and I believe that might have been Montgomery. When it was bombed, the night that it was bombed, and he was sitting at the kitchen table ready to give up because they just threatened his family. They just bombed his home.
Yeah.
And he said the voice came to him and told him not to give up, to keep on, that it was sanctioned. Well, when I found that passage, I went, oh, my God, I really did speak to him.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's speaking really of the voice of God, and that is what I think anyone who channels probably hears. Your higher self is the voice of God.
Exactly.
Everyone's an aspect of God. Everyone has that divine spark, and when you hear that inner voice directing you to do something, you better heed it, and I think more and more people are awakening to that inner voice, and it's very important. And a lot of people, you know, think that that you need to go along with that and that channeling isn't as important, but I think that these various entities who stood up for peace and justice have a very important contribution to make to our world at this time. And so while it's important to connect with your God source within, it's also very important to tune into these words even if you don't channel. But, you know, if you do hear the voice, you're on your way. That's a form of channeling, or however you want to call it, you know,
well,
revelation.
What I have come to an understanding with is whether the voice, small capital V voice that's being channeled, is of someone like Martin Luther King, someone of Diana, Princess of Wales stature, whomever the human essence is that is coming through, or whether if it's not even a known name, okay, I truly believe that that force of God has worked through all of these humans, and that in essence, all of the channelings are the voice of God.
That's right.
Martin Luther King was the face of God in human form.
Absolutely, and so was Princess Diana.
Exactly.
Faith.f.
They are, how would I explain it? They are segmented, and like Martin Luther King comes through to channel to me, Diana comes through to you to channel to you. It is segmented into that human personality because it's what humans are going to recognize.
And there is a distinct vibration that their particular spirit speaks with. I know that when I speak with Diana, Princess of Wales, there is a distinct accent that comes through, and she speaks a different English than I do. She speaks the Queen's English. So the punctuation, the spelling, and she always uses the word whilst instead of while. You know, there's little subtle differences that come through that tell me this isn't me making this up. This is her speaking, you know. So there are the personality attributes, which I think come through the channeling too.
Which is important for human level recognition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I still think the core of the work, the core of the connections that are being made and being allowed to be made, come from the voice, capital V-O-I-S.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I confirm that 100%, and I think it's very true, and I love Martin's use of the term, the voice.
Well, can I read real quick a short thing that Martin Luther King actually said about the voice?
Please do. That'd be wonderful.
This is in a different treatise. It's a treatise entitled The Gifts That Got Forgotten, which is different than the one we just read. But he says, would it surprise you to know that when the heavenly sons decided to come to the place of building physical bodies, that they could all do these things you have forgotten? And earlier in this treatise, he was talking about like my being able to hear him, as I had chosen to remember that I could hear the celestial realms, let's say. And he says, oh, yes, I know. The Bible doesn't say that Adam and Eve had special powers, does it? Or does it? Remember that it is written that they spoke each day with the voice, that they lost that ability when they tried to hide from the voice. Remember that now, children? The Bible as a book of reference must be read with a discerning eye and a discerning heart. The tale of those first two humans is not a literal one. It is the tale of how the voice created physical bodies that had an ability to walk upon a solid piece of ground. It is a tale of how once the spirit was embedded into that fleshly means of conveyance, that the act of forgetting to speak to the voice began. As I have said in the past, all may hear that voice. All may know the directions that the voice would have you go. For a certainty, the voice did not leave us. We left the voice.
Mm-hmm.
The voice did not hide from us. We have hidden from the voice. Read those passages again, children. Read those passages with a new understanding.
That's wonderful. And it sheds a great deal of light on the Bible, giving us a more liberal interpretation than a more literal interpretation. And it does even say in the Bible that they walked with God. And when you hear the phrase walked with God, I'm accustomed to believing that whenever I feel someone walks with God, that they hear his voice. So that's an immediate connection for
mm-hmm.
me of what he's talking about. So again, he's correcting any misperceptions that he may have had But he's adding greater wisdom to things. So.
Right, and he even, a little further down in this treatise, talks about when he heard the voice. He was under the, I know well that your religious leaders will tell you they were a chosen few. Do not forget I was once one of those leaders. I bought that story as well, hook, line, and sinker. I may have even propagated that story, and I know for a fact I believed when I was there that when the voice came to me in my hours of deepest need, that I was special. I have already discussed that, but the truth is that I know now that the voice hadn't found me. I had finally reached a place where I had refound the voice. That is the secret. That is the truth untold.
Mm-hmm. So very interesting the way we focus in on the corroboration that you got by reading through all the masses of papers that have been published on Dr. King and his writings, and you come to this thing called the voice, and it's completely what you had taken in dictation before you discovered this.
Right. I mean, I just, like I said, the minute I found this passage in this 4-inch thick book that talks about him discussing or having conversation with the voice, I was beyond elated. You know, there for me as a channel who has a high need of proof,
yeah,
there was my validation right there.
Yeah.
Well, in a book that was written in the 1970s, 20 years before I had even heard Dr. King speak to me.
Oh, wow. That's very corroborative, too.
Mm-hmm.
That is great. You know, I found a lot of things like that happening, too, when I began to channel Diana, because, like you, I was in a situation where I did not follow Diana on the news, and I wasn't a huge fan. I admired her from a distance, and I didn't hear from her for 3 to 4 years after her death when she began this work with me and asked me to do this work. So, you know, it just goes to show you, though, that when you do something in earnest with integrity and you believe you're getting information, it is good to check it out with sources that are already in print and do your own research. But there was a lot that came through from her at the beginning, such as her anniversary message to her boys and things, that there was just no way I could have made any of that up. And as we've gone on in our many, I do a weekly or a monthly channeling with Diana, and as I go on with it, I find more and more interesting things that she is revealing to me that are also present in your work or in Andrew's work. I was on your site this morning, and I heard part of Diana's Christmas message, and it was ringing some bells for me of familiarity when she was talking about the accident. So, you know, she had said that it, in my work, that it would turn Windsor on its head. So we all have yet to find out what's going to happen with that in this coming year. I suppose there'll be further revelations, you know.
Well, and that's an important point. You know, you began to channel Diana. You and I didn't even know each other. I was channeling Diana.
Right.
Andrew was actually working with Diana in a vastly different way, as one who speaks literally with his vocal cords for her. But neither of the three of us knew each other. And yet,
right,
when we began to become aware of each other and we began to, compare notes, it was, as Diana had told me, that each voice, each channel would have a different thread of this tapestry that she was weaving. And it's still being woven. It's not at all finished work. And so each of us are carrying a segment of what Diana wants into the world.
Yes. Now, you know, I think we're going to have to kind of wrap it up pretty soon, Rose, because I'm showing 10 till 11.
Yes.
Is that what you've got, too?
Uh-huh, yes.
Or 10 till 1, excuse me, would be 11 your time. Yeah, so we usually close out with some music, but I want to refer our listeners to your website again, and You also have Connecting to Diana. Has that one been integrated into these other two sites, or is there a separate?
There are links off of. If they go to sessionswithspirit.info, what I have done, that used to be my personal channeling site.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have done is placed the Diana Speaks Out site on front of, let's say, my own personal channeling site. If you go to sessionswithspirit.info, there is podcasts of Diana's working through Andrew,
mm-hmm.
which can corroborate her working with and to Marcia and I. But as well, there is a Connecting to Diana, which is my original site of, there's some excerpts from a book that I had written, which now I'm not really pushing that. I am very much more into trying to get it recognized that the essence of Diana is back, and she is working with this world, just as you are.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You know, we're doing it in different ways, different veins, but ultimately I just know in my heart that it's all going to tie in as Diana told me it would.
Yeah, I know. So it's exciting to see things unfolding for you with spirit. And one other point I wanted to make before we go is that when you do put your work together, be sure to quote the actual information that you had on Dr. Martin Luther King's inner voice and tie that in with your chapter. I think it would make it very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rose, I want to thank you for coming on the show again today. It's always a pleasure to have you on. And, of course, it's always a pleasure to have the words of the late Dr. King being read from spirit. It's powerful, and it reminds us all that we need to face every situation in our life that could bring us fear with courage, and we need to use reason and courage to overcome our fears and move into the vibration of love, universal love for everyone, in following the great example of Dr. King, Princess Diana, and others. So thank you for your contributions, and I look forward to seeing the book together at some point, Rose.
Thank you, Marcia, and thanks to your audience for listening.
Yes, thanks everyone for joining us. We're going to close out now with the song Diana's Entrance by John Lennon as through Bob Murray. So check out Bob's site at thestarsstillshine.com. We thank Bob for providing the music for our program today. Join us again next week. Thank you, folks.